How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can also get us anywhere your favorite podcasts are found. New podcast uploaded daily, and it's broken down into different segments and different special discussion points. So wherever you get your favorite podcast, Spotify, Apple, Odyssey, anywhere you get your favorite podcast, just favorite us and have it brought right to your inbox each and every day, like all your other favorite podcasts, and hopefully the Rob O'Donnell Show is one of them. How's everybody doing? It's Friday, July 25th, 2025. Don't let this rain wear you down. Listen, it was hot today. It was hot and humid. Able to do a little stuff around the house this morning, shock the pool. I just checked my surveillance cameras up by my house. It's not raining, but there were some dark clouds in the sky around. And I'm sure some stuff will come through. Listen, we have a day like today with this heat and humidity building up. It's bound to happen. There are sporadic storms throughout our entire area. It just opened up like cats and dogs. I don't know why they say cats and dogs, but that's what they say out here in the parking lot in Pittston. So be careful with your driving. Our parking lot pulled up pretty quickly. So if you're driving, be careful. You could have the potential to hydroplane. And that's why these warnings come out. And I'd be surprised if we didn't have further warnings throughout this show. And Jake's shaking his head, looking up at the screen, going, "Shut up, Rob! Shut it! Don't say it." But come on, we have to have reality here. We know how that they'll give us a warning for 200 miles away. We know how it works here. If you're in central New York, we're going to get a warning here. If you're in Philadelphia, we're going to get a warning here. If you're in western New Jersey, we're going to get a warning here. So we'll have to deal with it because it's out of our control. I can give Jake the authority to take his chair and change the situation, but there might be a lot of other things we can't bring you then too. So we won't do that. We'll have to control Jake today. It's Friday. He's looking for a good weekend too. So, you know, things to talk about today. We're gonna have it Fridays. Try and keep it as light up as light as possible. There is some breaking news that I didn't plan on covering today. That's why it's breaking because it just happened. Where there's a huge win for the Trump administration with a judge dismissing lawsuits challenging him dismantling of the USAID. And this is a developing situation now, but it does set the framework for other entities that he is in the process of doing away with. So that is a win for the Trump administration. I think it's a win for a lot of things. It was, if you take the time to look into it, something that was poorly mismanaged on a great degree. Although they did some things. As overall, the thing needs to be overhauled or done away with and started over in a more specific environment. So that's some breaking news now. I don't have the details in front of me, so I'm not going to pretend to get into the details there. Some stuff that could affect everyone, and it started yesterday with me. And for a lot of the day yesterday and a good portion of the day today before the show and yesterday before the show and even into the first half hour of the show to where I finally said, listen, I'm in the middle of a show. I can't do this now. But when you have daughters, especially in their mid to lower 20s, when they need dad's attention, they need dad's attention. And that's just the way it is with daughters. And any father out there or grandfather with daughters or granddaughters know what I'm talking about. And you women out there who your daddy's girl know it as well. So my daughter's always been a Jeep girl. And I think my wife recently buying a Jeep kind of put some fire under my daughter to say, hey, she wanted a Jeep back. Now, she had a Jeep. We got her a Jeep in high school. The deal was if she got accepted to nursing school that we would get her a Jeep. Not a new Jeep, a used Jeep. But she always loved the Wranglers. And by Jeep, I mean Wrangler. So we got her one. We surprised her with her Jeep, and she had it through her last 2 years of high school. And of course, COVID is here, so really not the big in and out of school parking lots you would think it would be, and through college. But she did go to college out in western Pennsylvania. She did come home a lot. It was a four-hour drive. It was an older Jeep. So I wanted something that even though the Jeep was in good shape and it rode well, you know, it was leaking some oil, it did have issues, and I didn't want to have to worry about her breaking down on 80. And if you've ever taken 80 from the Pittsburgh area to here, it gets kind of desolate in a lot of places. There are not many places to pull off. It's a big trucker thoroughfare. So we ended up trading her Jeep in and got her a brand new Hyundai Kona, all-wheel drive. It was not great in the snow, but capable in the snow, as long as you don't try to do anything crazy. But as long as it was great on gas, it was a hatchback, it was good for her in the time she was in. So it was great commuting back and forth. It was great for her school, for her work. But now she's moved. She is in Virginia, has her new job, is making really good money, and decided that she was going to go check out the new Jeeps that are out there. You know, she said once she gets established in her nursing career and was making good money and was living in a place she wanted to be, you know, she wanted to reward herself with something new. I know a lot of people don't want to spend the money on a new vehicle, but I understand where she's coming from. All that hard work, 4 years of nursing school, getting through orientation and everything in new hospitals, actually two new hospitals. She was working out in Western PA and down. So she went and finally did it yesterday. And the bottom line is buying a car is a process. And if you're new to buying cars and a lot of people who've purchased cars over the years know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, with three children, you know, we've gone through a lot of cars that had to fit our family's lives growing up, from, you know, my wife's SUV to minivans, back to SUVs, you know, back to the trucks that I've had over time. So, you know, I kept telling her it's a process. You know, you got to get the best price for the car, and then, you know, you want to work on getting the best trade-in value if you're trading in a vehicle. And you want to get pre-approved for a loan through your financial institution or somewhere that you've searched around for to get a really good rate. And then you let the dealership, who sometimes has really good deals. I mean, I have a 0.9% five-year interest rate on one of my Hyundais. They're basically giving you money to work with, so why not take it? So see what they have to offer, because there are a lot of good deals out there. And they gave her some numbers. And again, she's a 23-year-old girl walking into a car dealership in Virginia Beach herself. And they didn't beat her up as far as the numbers there, but they were on the higher side. So she ended up getting their proposal, sending it to me, and I looked through it, and I said, okay, you want them to come up on this, you want to come down on this, you don't want these extras they're trying to throw in. And I marked up the sheet that they gave me, you know, kind of spoke to her about it last night, and they called her this morning, hey, you were in a dealership yesterday. You know, and she's like, well, you know, if I have some time, I'm going to stop by. I may stop by again, but I don't know what my day looks like. Now, the bottom line is she always planned on stopping back, but you just don't let them know that. So she did go in. As soon as she pulled up, they recognized her car. They took it. You know, when they're taking the top off for a test drive yesterday, they are really trying to get you into this Jeep. So she walked back in and she handed them the paper that I had marked up in red ink. And I said, you know, you have to come up on the trade-in value. We don't want these extras. You're kind of a little high, even though there's really good rebates on this car to where I've found other comparisons, including here in our local area. And they looked at the paperwork and they were basically like, yep, no problem. We could do this. And between less than 12 hours between yesterday and today came down over $4,000, $2,000 more for her trade-in value and $2,000 less on the vehicle. And again, this is in addition to $8,000 in employee pricing and $1,000 in first responder rebates because she is a nurse and a bunch of other things. She got a really good deal from her bank that we all use, Navy Federal Credit Union, so that they couldn't come close to matching. So that was a no-brainer. And it was pretty much a done deal. And once they had the numbers solidified and in writing, she sent it to me while she was sitting there. I said, okay. So you're going to put some money down now to hold it and lock this in. And when you come back tomorrow, you'll put the rest of your cash down payment down and you'll have a check from your bank for the loan because you got a really good APR from your bank. She went to her bank, which is there's branches all over Virginia because it is Navy Federal Credit Union and it's a military town. They cut her a loan check right then and there, and they cut her a bank check for her down payment because her checking and savings account. And she's going to be there tomorrow to pick up the car. The downside of that is her new car that she has now, that we bought in 2021, the Hyundai Kona, is in my name and her name. So I, after the show today, have to drive down to Virginia Beach, 7-hour drive. We'll probably get there about 1:30 in the morning. Sleep to wake up to make sure my middle girl gets her little car. And it's funny to see how when they start becoming, when they're going through their adult processes, when they're, hey, I bought my first new car myself. And that's a proud moment. And that's one of the reasons to talk about this. And it's interesting that, a text messenger texts in, brag, thought this was a news program. Well, it's my program. It's called The Rob O'Donnell Show. And if you don't like listening to it, then don't listen. Change your station. It's not my fault you probably can't buy a new car or don't want to hear about someone buying a new car, but it's a process. It's about how a 23-year-old girl walked into a car dealership, and after a little guidance and a little parenting, with less than 12 hours later, walked in and got that car less than $4,000. If that helps one other person out there, then this was worthy a discussion. And if you can't see that, then you're the jerk off. Simple as that. So you have choices. You got a dial right there, buddy. So bottom line is we're driving down, or I'm driving down to Virginia Beach, and it's not really what I wanted to do, but it's good to see your children grow. And it's good to see that on a lot of scales, because right after this was said and done, I was able to send her a text message saying, hey, you know, you could write off your interest on your car loan because a Jeep Wrangler does qualify for the deduction for interest on an auto loan because the car is assembled here in the United States. And it does meet the criteria for gross vehicle weight and other things. So for the next 4 years, and I think she took out a 5-year loan, but for the next 4 years, she could write off all the interest as a deduction on our tax returns. So yes, as part of adulting, not only did you save $4,000 by having guidance through the program and having open dialogue with your dad during this, but you're able to also save the interest for the next 4 years. So hope that helped a couple of people out there. But again, in less than 12 hours, and we all know when a 23-year-old girl goes into a car dealership or a mechanic's office or something like that, we've heard the horror stories. And again, I don't think they did anything. I think if a 23-year-old guy would have walked in, they would have did the same thing with the same numbers. But after a little pushback, a little guidance, a little documentation on saying, okay, well, here's why I think the trade should be higher. Here's comparisons that show it should be higher. Here's where other people are selling this car. That research, that information saved $4,000. And I don't know anyone out there that could not use an extra $4,000 in their pocket. So simple as that. It's 3:22 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. I appreciate all the texts coming in. I do appreciate them. The person who texted before wrote bye-bye, as in B-Y-B-Y, who's the jerk off? And I just responded, it's B-Y-E-B-Y-E, bye-bye. So I'm sure you're still listening, even though you said you won't, because we know you do. We know you do. So you can call or text at 570-883-0098. Even those haters out there, you're welcome to call. We can have this discussion. And again, I got about a dozen texts here that says it was great information, great advice for anyone looking to buy a new car. And that's what the process is. You separate each thing. And again, we listen to people who go through things. And if they have a successful outcome, you take it. If you can use some of the advice, you do. If you don't, you don't. And the best stories being told are personal stories. Are, you know, there's a very poignant financial discussion we just had. If you wanted to make it about me simply because I just went through it, that's on you. But look at the financial reasoning that was there, saving $4,000 in less than 12 hours, doing a little research and being open to others in your family, helping you with something, saving on interest rates because there's new tax deductions that are applicable to cars and auto loans, new auto loans that are final assembly point is in the United States. So it's it is worth having that conversation about if you agree with it or not. And listen, those of you who don't like me, I can never make you like me, so I really don't care. My job here is not to try and turn you around, turn you over. We're one of the highest rated shows on the station for a reason, with or without you. So thank you. Let's go to Joe from Slocum on Cats and Dogs. Is it raining cats and dogs by you, Joe?
It did a little bit. I didn't see any cats and dogs floating by, but I used to be a history buff a while ago, and the phrase goes back to about the 1700s in London, England, and it was dependent on how all the homes were attached to one another and how the roofs were built. A lot of the people's pets, their cats and dogs, would stay up on the roofs for some reason. I don't know why. I forget about that, but when it rained really, really heavy, the cats and dogs got washed into the London streets. So therefore, raining cats and dogs.
Makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, very simple, very simple. And I listened to your program, I think earlier this week or last week, about the data centers. If you could keep giving updates about those, there's the one coming in Covington and Clifton, Dorrance by me over here, and I think Germany.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
And so I think it's very important for the news cycle, but just keep us updated.
Yeah, they just had the big meeting. I know Sue Henry covered it during her show. They just had the big meeting over in Covington Township. It looks like, well, the people who showed up for these, and a lot of the times the people who show up for these are against something like that. And, you know, when they put the industrial area in the Covington Center, there were a lot of people that were against having an industrial center there. And then there was too much noise from the industrial center. So they had a big meeting there. It looks like the township is preliminarily approving, you know, the process moving forward. But there's a lot of people. There's a lot of gated communities there that don't want big manufacturing plants or data centers that use a lot of electricity and such there. But you have to weigh all options. You have to weigh, you know, the tax benefits for the school district, for the county, for the local municipalities, the jobs that'll bring into the area. How will it increase our infrastructure? Listen, if this is a place of high value to the IT community, are they going to make sure there's better roads around it? One of the things that, you know, when people have moved to different areas, they always look to be near hospitals where they lived because they were usually on a different power grid because they wanted to make sure that the power to the hospitals was more stable. So if you were in that power grid, you had a less chance of your power being knocked down, or it was on the priority list to be repaired first because the hospital was on that. Now hospitals have backup generators and such like that. But it's one of those things to where, hey, you know, living near a hospital with emergency sirens coming in all the time and shifts coming in all three times a day and throughout the night and such, and visitors coming and going, and, you know, the activity around a hospital might not be the best neighbor for you, but as far as the infrastructure there, does a municipality keep the roads better because ambulances are coming and going from there? Does it have a better, more solid power grid? Are you on a priority list if there's stuff with the infrastructure? So even though this is a rural area, those things need to be looked at. You need to look at these things in a totality and do what's best. Plus, there's a lot of environmental reasons for a lot of these locations because there is the Lehigh River. There's tributaries that go through there that need to be looked at. Right. And I think they should be looked at, and all the pros and cons should be weighed, and it should be transparent and outweigh the benefits through the, you know, the aesthetics and discomfort.
Yeah. And also, I remember about maybe 10, 12 years ago, they improved the high power lines that went through there. They're right near those really high power lines that go right near the industrial park. That's why they're there, I think, just to tie into the power lines. And that they're huge. you know?
Well, that's one of the reasons they're looking at our area to begin with, because our extreme abundance of power that we can generate, and we do have already started laying the infrastructure for. You know, when we had natural gas here, you know, I guess it started about 15, 20 years ago, the real boom, they started building these national power plants, gas power plants. We have one off the Casey Highway. We have a few all over the place.
Yes.
They've been constantly redoing these high-tension power lines and upgrading them and making them more robust to carry more. So that is definitely one of the reasons they're looking here. But let's look at the totality of the benefits and the cons of this. Let's just not say, hey, I don't want this near my house, because you know what? I'm sure, you know, I wouldn't want a lot of things next to my house. But if it benefits the school district, if it benefits a lot of things, you know, you have to outweigh the best for the area.
North Pocono, it's going to hugely benefit the tax base for North Pocono. Their taxes are high. That's going to really help them. The townships are going to bring in a lot of tax revenue, which is, like you said, the roads and all the side benefits. So, like you said, there's pros and cons.
There is indeed. There is indeed. Joe, I appreciate the cats and dogs story.
Man,
I love it.
Let you go. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too, my friend.
You got a good deal on that car.
I believe she did. We'll see.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I love the story.
Thank you. It's 3:34 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Got a lot of text messages coming in, and I appreciate all the text messages. It's 3:40 here, 83 degrees. There are storms moving through our areas, so be careful out there. It is coming down pretty hard in areas, and then all of a sudden the sun's out. Joe from Chips Park chimed in and says, tips like this Jeep purchase are what we need more of. Knowledge is power. How can someone be upset? Learning a way to save thousands beats me. And you know what? Why do I tell stories like I do? Because of this next text message that I received. Hey, Rob, I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed listening to your story about your daughter. I'm 41 now and lost my dad to suicide when I was 10. He did 4 tours in Vietnam, and apparently he was never the same. Anyway, my grandfather helped to raise myself and my siblings, and it literally sounded like I was listening to him when you told the story. That's exactly what he would have done, and I would have had gladly followed his advice. My first vehicle was also a Jeep that he surprised me with. I lost my sister, unfortunately, to a rare disease, and I'm teaching my niece to drive for the first time. It's terrifying, but she laughed listening as well. She said it sounded just like me, so I guess I'm doing something right. Just wanted to share that. Some people are just angry trolls, and they have nothing better to do than keyboard warriors. Anyway, love the show and listen daily. Well, I appreciate that. That's I truly appreciate that. And that's, listen, the story touched home with someone and then it was worthwhile. If someone wants to be angry about 10 minutes of discussing a financial decision that helped people and could help people down the road. I got 3 text messages asking me if I wanted to go with them or their kids to negotiate their next car deal. Listen, I'm far from someone who you want doing that. And I'm actually very surprised that the dealer didn't push back at all. I was truly expecting it and a back and forth. And somebody said, you know, why is buying a car like this? Listen, I can't stand walking in anywhere, a furniture store, anywhere. And I understand these people work on commission and they have to be go-getters. I get that. Let me figure out what I want first, and then let's sit down and have a discussion. And I truly understand that everyone needs to make money here. The salesman needs to make money. The company needs to make money. The building, the manufacturer, everybody needs to make money. But, you know, in less than $12,000 without much of a pushback, you come down $4,000. Maybe if you just would have did that from the start, you'd sell more cars right off the bat. But I understand how the auto market works, so we'll move on and take this win for the hold. And here, for somebody who's dealt 18 years of her life with a chronic disease that causes her to get dozens of shots each day and wear a pump that monitors her blood sugar, you know, if she wants to put in the hard work to become a nurse to pay back to the society to help others as a pediatric trauma and psychiatric nurse, then I think she deserves the wins as well. And that's celebrating the fruits of her labor, having a good job, putting the work in college to get her degree, getting her license as a nurse. So yes, this is a celebration for her. So, and I'm proud of that. You can like it or not. Doesn't really matter. It's 3:43 here at WILK. We'll be back. Did we say it's Friday, Jake? It is Friday. End of the week. And people are worried about such trivial stuff. And again, let me be clear here. Out of the story and everything we've talked about, and A, I was only going to talk about it in the first segment, but you kind of dragged it on. But there's only two texters that really had an issue. One person says it's the reason why they don't listen to the show, but for some reason was listening to the show and texted in about the show what they say they don't listen to. So what do you make of that, Jake?
Number one rated show, 5 to 6 p.m. hour?
Mm-hmm.
That's none of my business.
Yep. I don't know. Well, I appreciate those that do. And again, the dozens
your
of text
show,
messages.
You can do whatever the hell you want.
The text messages I got in. They're going to go to management and say that, you know, okay.
All right.
Do you need the address?
Yeah.
Phone number?
Yeah.
Name?
We got it all.
Make sure you ask for Ryan. It's okay. We'll get it there. It's 3:47 here. We're going to talk about, since we have the Bloomberg Money Minute coming up, you know, I kind of try and get a financial story to throw in here to tie into it, because that's what we do here on the Rob O'Donnell Show. We try and make sense of things. But no one in my family has tried to buy a house recently, so this has nothing to do with me or my family. So for you, those haters out there, you could just take the information as just that, information. But the average long-term U.S. mortgage rate has eased to 6.74%. Now, it's still elevated from where it was, and it's one of the reasons why the Trump administration and Trump himself has really taken target of the Federal Reserve, saying other nations have already lowered their interest rates two or three times, and we have not. And it's really hurting the average people out there. The auto industry is hurting. That's why there are so good deals out there. And there are good deals to buy cars if you're willing to put in the work. Now, obviously, they're going to try and make as much money as they can. Same thing with mortgages and homes. You know, I know realtors in our area. I know realtors around the country. I've been eyeing the market down in Florida, you know, just to see if a good deal does come up. And they are getting better because the surplus of houses are out there are building up. But if we can get that rate down a couple points and you can get it down into the fours even, or maybe even the fives, that would help a lot of people looking for their first home. If you look at the difference between even today, this ease down of 6.74, which is not bad. You know, in my times of first buying a house, that would have been a really good rate. You know, you remember the times where rates were at 16, 17, and 18%, and I'm sure a lot of you paid for that during your first home purchase back in the 80s. 6.74 is not bad, but you look at the difference between a 4.9 or a 5% interest and a 6.74% interest over the life of the loan or just monthly payment-wise, it's a world of difference from someone where dollars matter. Where $50 or $100 may make the difference if you can afford a house or not. So good news that it is starting to ease, but without the Federal Reserve really cutting, it's really not going to be a big bang for the people out there. It's time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Jake, bring me back to a 8-pack, a little Budweiser hand grenade sitting on a rock by the lake listening to this song. Those were great. Do they still, can you get them anywhere, the 8-pack of the little Bud hand grenades? They were great. Two sips, they're done. Always stayed cold. You didn't have to worry about, I hate warm beer. And that was one of the benefits of them. They just never got warm because you got two sips out of them, if that. Those were great. If anyone knows where you can get those little Bud Nip hand grenades, 8-packs somewhere, I don't even know if they make them anymore. But, man, I would get it just to reminisce back in time. Crank this on my deck. Absolutely. Absolutely. So a Pennsylvania ICU nurse has won a major legal victory in a rare case involving COVID-19 vaccine mandates and their intersection with workers' compensation law. Kathleen Fee was injured on the job and later fired after her requests for religious and medical vaccine exemptions were denied. When her employer attempted to terminate her workers' compensation benefits, well, the nurse fought back and ultimately prevailed in Commonwealth Court. According to court documents, Fee was injured on September of 2021 while working at the Crozer Chester Medical Center, owned and operated by Prospect Medical Holdings. The facility closed in April as part of the company's Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Shortly after being placed on light duty work because of her injury, and transferred to another unit, she was terminated for failure to comply with the hospital's vaccine mandate. She had twice submitted exemptions requested on both religious and medical, but both were denied. A founding partner of a law firm representing her told reporters that in addition to being a 31-year employee with an exemplary record, that she was also an ordained minister who actively participated in her church. And basically using the vaccine mandate to terminate her because of her past workman's compensation law. With the fear meter at an all-time high, some employers required masks while other imposed vaccine mandates, often denying even documented exemption requests. He noted that when the nurse was hurt in September, she was already persevering through pain from a previous injury sustained months earlier. She continued to work in the ICU while training for her light-duty position in a detox unit. In addition to providing documentation from her church, she obtained paperwork from her doctors verifying a family history of autoimmune disease, including multiple sclerosis. They stressed that Fee's fears were justified, saying their firm has dealt with multiple cases involving individuals developed a Guillain-Barré syndrome, allergic reaction, blindness, and other disabilities following mandatory vaccinations due to bad batch or triggering of the comorbid condition. He also pointed out that Fee's exemption requests were denied. Her union filed a grievance request that was ultimately lost in arbitration. While unusual, he said it underscored the intense climate of fear that prevailed at the time. Under Pennsylvania law, they said that when an employee is assigned light-duty work due to job-related injury and that position is eliminated through no fault of their own, the workman's compensation insurer is required to pay benefits unless and until the employer offers a comparable alternate role. The legal team filed an initial petition in 2022, and after a year of pursuing litigation, workman's compensation judge found her medical claims credible, awarded her benefits, and rejected her employer's petition to terminate them, disputing their claim that she acted in bad faith by refusing the vaccine. So it is important to recognize that credibility determinations, who a judge chooses to believe, are protected by law and cannot be overturned on appeal. However, the Workmen's Compensation Appeal Board ignored that standard. Without presenting any opposing evidence, the board concludes Fee's reasons for refusing the vaccine were vague and reversed the judge's ruling. She appealed to Commonwealth Court, one step below the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, which ruled that the board had overstepped its authority. Citing case law, the court emphasized that the appellate bodies must view the evidence in the light most favorable to the prevailing party at the trial level, which in this case was the nurse. They concluded that she had legitimate medical and religious grounds for refusing the vaccine and reinstated her benefits. She continued to receive treatments for her injuries and testified that she would return to light-duty role if offered one, but the position she was training for no longer exists, and as of now, she is owed more than 1 year's benefits. And the court opinions dated June 30th gives Prospect Medical Holdings 1 month to appeal, but at this point has to pay the 1 year's benefits to the nurse. Hey, kudos to her for sticking to her guns. A lot of people went a different direction with this vaccine mandate, and I think we all learned a big lesson in it. Personally, I was not mandated to take a vaccine, but because I had a daughter with a chronic health condition, we decided it was best that we did. I regret it to this point. Still do. Wish I never got it because I ended up getting COVID 3 or 4 more times after getting the shot. I had COVID first, the original variant of COVID. Got the vaccine when it became available after, and then got COVID 2 or 3 more times after the fact. Now it's just the common flu, right? We don't do much about it. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.